We're going to sing My Savior's Love together. Sing it out on that first verse. I stand amazed in the presence lifted up this morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. For on that second lifted up for me, it was in the garden. He prayed not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in their sorrows. He bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Think about this fourth verse. I love how it says, he took my sins and my sorrows lifted up this morning.
He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Be seated, and we'll take a few minutes here and just review some prayer requests. Remember, continue to be in prayer for Miss Leanne Goble, Brother Tim Scruggs. Remember both of these in prayer. Miss Jean Gibson, again, and continuing rehab and recovering there. And just, again, the infection is as important, getting over that, as it is her back surgeries. In prayer for Coastline Baptist Church, and I believe there is someone preaching there today in view of a call, so be in prayer for that church, the church that we planted down in Corpus Christi. Be in prayer for the Hester family. That funeral was yesterday, and so be in prayer for Miss Hester and the five kids at the loss of the husband there with cancer. Also, a couple days ago, Glenn Story, this is one of the firemen here in our town, our city, fell off the ladder truck, actually, and broke both heels. And so Brother Glenn has been a volunteer fireman here for, I believe, 25 years at least, maybe 30 years. I know when I started, he'd already been here a long time. And so be in prayer for Glenn, if you would. And then, of course, be in prayer for Ukraine and the people of Ukraine, and especially the Christians there, and that God would protect them and be with them. And they need our prayers. Amen. And I'll give you, during the service this morning, give you an opportunity to have a part in sending a love offering over to the Ukraine through two of our missionaries that are right there close, one of them actually housing some of the refugees. And so looking forward to being able to have a part, small part anyway, in helping those who are fleeing the country. And so, and then we're looking forward to Anniversary Sunday. I know our, again, we're combined this morning, all the adult classes in here as well as the youth departments in here for our Bible conference. But I want to encourage you, the 21st anniversary of our church is coming up here in just a few weeks. The last Sunday of the month, it's hard to believe 21 years has already passed. And I look the very same that I did 21 years ago. I was telling one of the visitors here, I looked very same. I didn't have any hair back. No, all my hair's gone, and it's all good. Grown gray, falling out. Acts as a mirror for you guys, especially those watching online. They kind of get a, every once in a while they get a, I try not to, every time I bend down, I think about, well, they're probably getting that glare interfering with the whole TV watching experience. So on the 21st anniversary, we're going to have Friend Day. We did this last year as well. So we want to encourage you to bring somebody. Invite somebody to come and be a part of your class. And so the Sunday school teachers will be promoting this next Sunday. But again, just being a part, inviting somebody. We have special days like this, honestly, to give you the opportunity to say to someone other than just say, would you come to church with me? But, hey, we're having a special day. I'd love to have you come and be my friend. And then bring them to church with you, and then take them out to eat afterwards, or take them to your house afterwards, and just invite a neighbor, invite a loved one, invite a family member, invite somebody to come. Make it your goal to at least invite someone in the next 2 or 3 weeks to Anniversary Sunday. On that Sunday, we're going to do donut walk before Sunday school. So what we're going to do is have, on that side of the building, we'll have people out handing out donuts as people walk in. What greater thing could you do than that? And so we'll be passing out a lot of donuts on that day, and of course Sunday school classes, and then Anniversary Sunday, and then of course afterwards, you don't have to take them out to eat, by the way. We do have the brisket and the luncheon here at the church over in the activity center, and Brother Shuler will be cooking it up again this year. Look forward to that, and then encouraging everybody to bring sides. So 21st anniversary, again, hard to believe, time flies when you're having fun. Amen. Again, we shared those prayer requests with you. I hope that you'll be in prayer for these. In your, I don't know if they can get on the screen quick enough, but page 273 is a chorus, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why, Jesus took my burdens all away. Now listen, we're going to sing this chorus together, and we're going to sing it together, but you cannot sing this chorus and frown at the same time. It's kind of like singing stand up for Jesus sitting down. You can't sing stand up for Jesus sitting down. You can't sing this song without at least a grimace on your face. A smiling grimace, but a grimace, all right? And so let's sing this together. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why I didn't ask anybody to stay. We're going to do it a cappella. Ready? I'm so happy, and here's the reason why, Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away. I sing that one for the ladies to get it down there low enough. I'll sing it again. I'm going to raise it just a little bit. Ready? I'm so happy, and here's the reason why, Jesus took my burdens all away. Now I'm singing as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away. Once my heart was heavy with the load of sin, Jesus took the load and gave me wonderful peace within my heart. And now I'm singing as the days go by, Jesus took my burdens all away. Ladies, you sound so good doing the repeat. Good job. It's good to have Brother Stewart with us this morning. Again, evangelist out of the Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford, president of the Norris Baptist Bible Seminary, my friend, and has been teaching and preaching our Bible conferences for the last 21 years. So he's been here since the beginning. And I just appreciate him. I appreciate his Bible knowledge. I appreciate his preaching. A while ago in the first service, I looked down at the clock and my watch, and it was already time for it to be over. And it sounded like, didn't seem like it at all. And I enjoy speakers like that. And so, Brother Stewart, you come on and teach our Sunday school class.
Hey, brother. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. There's handouts back there on the area there. You can get those after Sunday school. It's just very disruptive to try to, pass them out ahead of time and so forth. But you can get those, and I'll be bringing them. I came here one time without those, and I almost got run out of the building. So anyway, Genesis chapter 6, I'll bring new ones as the week goes on. And if the rapture happens, there'll be a stockpile at the school. You can run by and get them if you need them, okay? Genesis chapter 6. Glad somebody laughed. Thank you. Genesis chapter 6. Look on the screen so you can kind of see where we're headed. I'll touch on this more in the morning service. But just notice that statement at the very top, Noah, a man for our times. And we'll develop that more in the sermon. When you do two Sunday morning services and a Sunday school in between, you got to kind of, it's kind of given two introductions. Because the first group doesn't hear the Sunday school lesson. The second group does. And so you want to overlap just a hair. But notice the concept here, a man for our times. And we will talk about that in the morning service. But let's talk about what it was like in Noah's day, Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. There's a lot going on in the first four verses, a whole lot. And I think the best way to handle that, because, again, this is not so much about the flood event, this is about Noah. But you've got to put Noah in his context. It's not just a guy walking around. It was a nice man in everyday life. We need those kind of men. But this, as we'll talk about in the morning preaching service, this is one of the most outstanding vessels in the Bible. You say vessels? Yes, because nobody could do what Noah did without God. Okay, none of us could do anything without God. We can't even breathe without God. Do you know that? Daniel talks about the God in whose holds your breath and whose hand your breath is in. So really, it's all glory to God. Look what he can do through a man like Noah. You will appreciate Noah more if you really stop and consider again the times in which he lived. And let me encourage you up front. I think America's been in better condition than she is right now. I think America's been a lot better condition than she is right now. But it's still a whole lot better than most of the world. And it's not near as bad as it was in Noah's day. So let me make this statement, and this is, to me, very key. Oftentimes, you go to the extreme to make a point. You go to the extreme to make a point. For what do you mean? You convince that girl you love her by asking her to marry you. And she says yes to prove that she loves you. Okay, there's a positive one there, see? You go to the extreme to make a point. Let's go see how bad it really was. I don't have to exaggerate. I don't have to embellish this. All I got to do is just try to hold your attention and try to get you to focus on it, because it was extremely dark, okay? Those first four verses, let me just say this, because there's four or five views on who in the world the sons of God were. And Ryrie literally says he believes it was angels. As rare as odd as that seems, now people say, well, there's no female angels. Angels, you know, cannot have relations. Well, that's why they can't have relations, there's no female angels. But he says it's so diabolical here that they may have had relations to produce this weird offspring. That's the most, you know, extreme view over here, and then there's other views over here. It's hard to nail down exactly what's going on. I think you can say that it's at least demonic possession. There's a whole lot of satanic activity going on being spoken of here in these first four verses. Because the world comes down to eight people. Now stop and think about this. Eight people. People were living 800 and 900 years. When the flood actually came, it's the year 1656. In other words, 1656 years before that, God created. And it's gotten so bad, there's eight people left. Now, I was thinking about this. I don't know if they're all here or not. But are the three sons of Brother Crawford here? The three sons of Brother Crawford, are they here? I saw. Would you all stand up? Where's the other one? All right, you three stand up. Okay? Why don't you three come up here real quick? Just come on up here. All right? Pastor, if you'd stand up. Now, I'm not going to embarrass their wives, okay? I want their wives to at least appreciate I came to the weddings and congratulated them and prayed for them. No, but anyway, okay. All right. Now look at this. I was thinking about this, and I want to give an illustration. Noah and his three sons, okay? Now, just think about this, okay? All right. These three men have wives. I know they have children, but don't worry about that right now, okay? These three men have wives, and Brother Crawford has a wife. Now, again, we're having kind of fun, but it's not a lot of fun. You think about this. The entire world, would you guys stand still? The entire world gets wiped out today except for these four men and their wives. Just think about this a minute. The entire world. Remember what happened in Ukraine the other day? Somebody was attacking that nuclear power plant. There's a bunch of them there. They said it would have been 10 times worse than Chernobyl. When they came in by Chernobyl the other day, they were afraid they were going to stir that up. Realize there were 8 people left. That's how bad it got, okay? All right, guys, thank you. Sit down. We appreciate it. All right? So these first four verses, there's something going on here, major, and it's Satan having liberty to interfere greatly with God's created order. So let's start in verse number 5, and if you look up here on the screen, the backdrop to Noah's faithfulness. Our key passage is literally Hebrews 11:7, but it's all supported by Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Favor, not mercy. He found mercy, but that's talking about grace, favor. Unmerited favor. Freely given favor, even unto enlightenment and enablement. Okay? He could not have done what he did without the grace of God. So let's pray. We'll be in verse 5 and following, down to verse 13. Okay? Father, thank you for this time that we have, and thank you for the example of Noah. Help us to see the backdrop. Help us to see the context, the setting in which this man had such a walk with you. And help us to see that if he did it in Old Testament dispensation, Old Testament economy, Old Testament grace, how much more we should be able to do with New Testament grace. If we learn anything in the Bible, especially the book of Hebrews, the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The Old Testament is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's preparatory. It sets off the New Testament wonderfully. We need to know it and understand it. But we're now in the New Testament, the New Covenant, and it's far greater in its grace. So speak to us and challenge us and prepare our hearts for the message to follow in a few minutes. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me emphasize some things as we read through it the first time, then we'll come back and comment on it, okay? This is the day in which Noah found himself. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Not just locally, the earth. By the way, when you read Genesis 6 through 9, please note that it's constantly emphasizing the whole earth. The flood was not a local event. It was worldwide. Henry Morris Study Bible gives 100 reasons how we know it was worldwide. There are people that will say, well, it was apparently a local flood. You don't build an ark, and you don't have all the animals come to you for a local flood. All you got to do is start with Genesis 1:1. God created everything out of nothing, and you have no problem believing there would be a universal flood. And if you do a little geology, it's pretty easy to see that it actually happened the way the Bible said. A little geology study. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You go back and look at the four verses, it kind of shows you there's a lot of something going on in a demonic way. And that every imagination. Now we think of imagination, we talk about using your imagination. It means more than just imagination. It means your whole thought process. Everything that comes into your mind as you think and envision and plan and wonder. Every imagination. This is God talking. This is God speaking. He's not exaggerating. Of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's a difference from continual and constant, by the way. Verse 6, and it repented, it repulsed the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it, look what it says here, it grieved him at his heart. Now, just stop here because I may forget to come back to this because several things I want to get to. It grieved him at his heart. Okay? As bad as this was, and we can't relate to it, if I could paint a portrait, if we could go back in a time machine, we still could not take in how bad it is. You and I, we live with sinful people, right? By the way, we're sinful too, right? We live as sinful people, and we are sinful. As well as we try to be off, as good as we try to conduct ourselves, we're a little bit jaded in understanding just how bad things are because we're not perfect. We've gotten used to fallenness. We've gotten used to sin, amen, to some degree. And by the way, sin is not just, you know, smoking this or drinking this, whatever. There's a lot of things that are sin. Sin is nothing but self-centeredness and selfishness, etc., okay? But to a holy God, to a God who's going to love His creation so much that He's going to send His Son down here to save it. Do you know the reason that there were 8 people left? Because God waited and waited and waited and warned and warned and warned. Because He did not want to pour out His judgment. God's sitting in heaven right now that's doing this. Oh, I tell you what, they're going to get it. Are they going to get it? God was satisfied on the cross. Amen. Amen? But He has to do what's right. You cannot have a universe where right and wrong is not backed up. Notice this. He waited till there was 8 people left. Okay, we'll talk about that more in the morning service. Now watch this. At his heart, grieved him. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, that's where this pops off the page. But Noah. Isn't it sad today that most people, even in America, are not saved? Now, I say that, no telling who's listening. I'm not saved because I'm better than anybody else. I deserve hell. I'm not going to heaven because I'm better than anybody else. I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, amen? God caused me to see my lost condition. He caused me to understand that Christ is the only way, and He brought me to the crossroads. And by the grace of God, I reached out and accepted that free gift of eternal life forever. Amen?
Amen.
Realize, just right now, you could put your name there, but your name found grace. But what a stark contrast here. There's nobody left. Methuselah's going to die the same year the flood comes, and apparently that's the last one left outside of Noah and his family. But Noah found grace, freely given favor, even unto enablement, unmerited grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Wow. We need to come back to that. And Noah begat 3 sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence, not just on TV, like we have it today, the earth itself. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted, look at this, His way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, think about this for a few minutes. Okay? Now, there's some words here that set this off. If you take the time to see how God's got a nail here, and He just keeps driving that nail. That's why He changes hammers, but He's driving the same nail. Go back to verse 5. Again, what you've got to do, and it's kind of dark, okay? But Sunday school's not going to last forever, okay? It'll be over in a few minutes. And they'll have a wonderful morning service, and it'll be upbeat, okay? But we can't appreciate this man and to go to the extreme point. This is what I'm saying. This is the worst it could possibly be up to this time. You know what Jesus said? Jesus, the tribulation period, will be worse than even Noah's flood. It's going to be so bad. If the rapture happens today, if God takes all the saved out of the earth, the 7 years that's coming on this earth, it's going to be so bad that Jesus said the world's never seen anything like it. Okay, but up until now, this is the worst condition the world's ever been in. And somehow, some way, this man walked with God.
Yeah.
Now, I am a preacher. I think rightfully so, I ought to be perceived. Nobody can do it all the time, but I ought to be perceived as walking with God. What use is a preacher that's not walking with God? And I will tell you, I don't always walk with God, okay? Sometimes I walk ahead of God. I get anxious, okay? I try to make something happen. Sometimes I fall a little bit behind. There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us, okay? But that's my aspiration, to walk with God. Why? The world doesn't need Jonathan Stewart. The world needs God. Amen? By the way, you're supposed to be walking with God. Here's the toughest thing, and here's what I want you to see. If you think it's tough now on the job, okay? If you think it's tough now on the job, if you think it's tough now with family, at the holidays or family reunions or whatever, we all have different families. Some of us, we're about the only believer in the family. Some of us, we have a large group of believers. Do you know if you walk with God, you're out of step with the world? Now let that sink in. Now, I'm not here to be melodramatic, and I'm not trying to be melodramatic. But folks, it's steadily getting darker out there. Not just economically, not just politically. There are issues that our leadership in our country, thank God not all of them, but pretty close to half of them, strange ideas they're trying to force down our throats, and they're doing it behind our scenes. Behind our eyes where we can't see it, out of the way. They're doing it. We don't even know. They're pushing it, and they're trying to make us feel like we've got the problem, okay? And the idea is, because we don't agree with them, that means we hate. No, we don't hate. We love.
Amen.
A doctor gives an assessment of you and tells you got this health issue and this health issue. He doesn't tell it because he hates you. He wants to help you. Sin has messed our world up. And when people begin to ignore God, and we're going to be into prophecy Wednesday night because this is all tied into prophecy, Noah and et cetera, we've got the only solution. Not because we're better than anybody else. It didn't start in America. It started in Israel. And it spread around the world. Amen? And look at the leaders of our world today. They don't know what to do right now. They can't decide what to do. Okay? Right? We can kid ourselves and say, well, I don't want to focus on it being battle. You don't need to focus on being a battle of time. We just need to focus on the Lord. We need to walk with God. But if you walk with God, you're going to be out of step with the world. Most Christians don't want to be out of step with God, but they want to be a little bit with the world and the way of thinking and so forth, to where God's not that far away, whatever. Noah walked with God. And just making the point, here's what I wanted to get across. If Noah did it back then, we can do it now.
Amen.
And for society does not change, if we don't have a great awakening, and by the way, we could have a great awakening. When things get dark, God oftentimes steps in, and it would be just like God to have a great harvest before the rapture. I do not want us to go, well, let's just hunker down and whatever. That's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say is, if enough people start walking with God, we'd have revival.
Amen.
But sooner or later, it's going to end. And we may be seeing that setting up right now. That doesn't mean we can't slow it down, so to speak. You know, God's factor in human involvement. But let me say it one more time. You're going to have to embrace this idea in a practical, everyday sense. I need to walk with God. I need to start the morning with a quality daily devotion. And I need to stay in touch with God all day long. When I go to bed at night, I need to end the night with Him. And it becomes a lifestyle. By the way, that's what Adam and Eve had before they sinned. We got it back potential when we got saved because we got a Godward nature, a new nature. We were made to live in fellowship with God. What do you think we're going to do in heaven? We're going to be in fellowship with God, and we're going to experience lives like we've never had it before. How many would have liked to spend some time with Jesus in the Bible? Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got all of eternity, amen? He walked with God, but that meant he was out of step with the world, all right? So, look at this situation. It was the wickedness of man was great. He said, what does that mean? That means it was bad. He said, how bad? Real bad. He said, well, how bad? Real, real bad. He said, okay, but I mean, how bad? Real, 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 real bad. It'd be like having to move away from Texas and live somewhere else. All right, I just said it'd be like that, okay? All right, but anyway, the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And you say, well, how bad? So bad that God's sending a flood to wipe everybody out. In other words, they have done so much destruction, there's no hope. We got to start over. Not totally, because Noah's a descendant of Adam, okay? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls therefore repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt. This may be talking societally. In other words, society was so bad. But it could also include they had polluted the earth to some extent. I'm not talking about chemicals and all that kind of stuff and nuclear waste and stuff. They didn't have that kind of a world situation back then. The world was a much more hospitable place to live, okay? But they apparently had so affected the earth that God needed to wipe off the memory of them, so to speak. I don't know if you know this, and we don't need to go into any details, but if you go back and study archaeology, the Canaanites, that the book of Leviticus warns the Jews don't do what they do in their immorality. Archaeologists find things that are filthy and vulgar, things you wouldn't want to talk about they find in their excavations. How many have heard of Pompeii? How many have heard of Mount Vesuvius? They live with that mountain always threatening that it was going to explode the volcano, Mount Vesuvius, and one day it did, and it came so fast and so hard that it literally froze people. It literally caught people in stride, bakers baking stuff, and everybody just literally encased them in lava. And you walk in there and see things. It was filthy, immoral, and vile. Even secular people have said, wow, you kind of wonder if that volcano was set because what they find in there. It seems to imply that if you got such horribly wicked people, who knows what they've built? Who knows what's on the earth? Because you know the flood was on the earth several months, and then the waters begin to recede, about a year, okay? And then after the flood, it took a while for the earth to right itself. It was an amazing event. Now watch this wording here. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Somebody remarks that when it says filled with violence, that means there must have been a lot of people on the earth. There must have been a very high level of population. Well, people are living 600, 700, 800 years. They're not dying. If you ever get a chance, get a piece of paper out and a pencil and write down Adam and then write down Seth and then write down Enos and go all the way down, you will be shocked how close Adam came to overlapping with Noah. Imagine a world where George Washington is still alive. You say, what are you talking about? Well, if he died a little bit after the 1800s or so, and he was, what, 70-some years old, they bled him to death, per se. He wouldn't be that old right now. He'd be what, 400? Be about a middle-aged guy. Can you imagine a world where people are living 600, 700, 800 years? Go back 800 years. It'd be the 1300s. Could you imagine Robert the Bruce still being around? Some of you Scots people here, people from Scotland. Think of all the people. Martin Luther could still be running the Lutheran Church. Charles Wesley could still be writing hymns. Amen? Jay Frank Norris could be downtown Fort Worth still pastoring. You see the different world? Do you realize the reason they lived so long? Because the environment was far superior. We got people concerned about the environment constantly. Oh, the environment, the environment. Hey, we ought to take care of the environment. It's God's earth. But we shouldn't worship it. We shouldn't panic. We shouldn't be doing what they're doing. Do you realize that apparently it was a much more hospitable, conducive? It never got real hot. It never got real cold. There were not earthquakes and tornadoes and blizzards and deserts. Yeah, that's from the flood. God's revealing His wrath for then on because of it. We'll talk about that later. So today, just compare. They got a beautiful environment. It's a much better time to be living on this planet. It has not felt the effects of a universal worldwide flood that was meant to be a warning for generations to come, 2 Peter 3. And yet, look what happened. See, people think the problem is the environment. The problem's not the environment. The problem's not outward. The problem's here. The problem's here. In that wonderful setting, they basically just wrote God off. And they got to the point that He didn't matter. And notice it says. It says they corrupted His way. He looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh corrupted His way upon the earth. Verse 13, God's way. God's got a wonderful created order. A loving, all-wise, benevolent God came up with the concept of man and woman. The angels don't have to have wives. They don't get to marry. They don't get to have children. As we talked about in the morning service, we get to have a father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter relationship, parent-child relationships. God's always had a son. God the Father had a son. His name's Jesus Christ, amen? And that son's always had a father. God created us with the parent-child relationship so we could better appreciate God and what He did for us. Amen. You want how God feels towards you? How do you feel towards your children? Yeah. God has a wonderful plan for all of us. This is what marriage is supposed to be. It's what parenting is supposed to be. This is man's role, woman's role. You get away from that, you start messing things up, and society implodes, even with wonderful, wonderful environment. Okay? Notice this. And the end of all flesh has come before me. Now look at verse 13. The earth is filled with violence. Some people say, why would God wipe out everybody on the earth? What kind of God is that? They were wiping each other out. If God had not stepped in, we're down to 8 people. If God had not stepped in, there would have been nobody left. Think about that a minute. The earth's filled with violence. It's corrupt. Look at the wording up here. God saw the wickedness was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of His heart, only evil continually. Every only continually. This is not exaggeration. This is God speaking. Folks, that's what we're capable of without God. Amen. Our heart is desperately wicked. The only reason we're here today is because we've tasted the grace of God. Amen? Now watch this. The earth was also corrupt, and it was filled with violence. All flesh had corrupted His way. Filled with violence. If God had not stepped in, He waited till there was 8 people left. But look what it says. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 18. There's a lot of great cross references in the Bible, and these cross references are so insightful to the flood. All cross references help. The Bible was made to compare Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I heard that years ago in school, and the more I learn my Bible, the more I appreciate that, the more I tell people that. Look at Psalm 18. We won't read the whole psalm. We'll read the first few verses to set up a big shift here. How many know about Psalm 1? How many? Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. How many of you remember that psalm? David wrote that psalm. You know when David wrote that psalm, you know how many books of the Bible he had? He probably had the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, obviously. He may have had Joshua, Judges. Samuel's going to interact with David, so he may not have the writings of Samuel. He may have the book of Job. He's got 8 books, maybe. 8 books. Does that make sense? Okay? 8 books per se. He says, blessed is the man that meditates day and night in 8 books. We've got 66. Amen? The reason I tell you that is because he makes this big shift in Psalm 18. David is going through a very difficult time. And if you look at your notes there, look at the very top in Psalm 18. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, boom. We don't know how long it was, but somewhere around 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, some people go 12 or 13 years, Saul is chasing David all over the kingdom trying to kill him. Because Saul's gotten away from God. Whatever he had with God, he's gotten away from. And David is literally running for his life all the time. And David finally gets at his wits' end. He just does some crazy things, but God is building a man. God is building David into a strong spiritual man. And Saul dies. You know, and David didn't rejoice in that. David, it was a sad day to David. And David didn't say, great, wonderful. It broke David's heart to see it because David never wanted Saul to feel that way toward him. But Saul was jealous. Okay? But look how he describes it. Now watch this. And here's David, and he's gone through. And the reason I said that, just think what it was like. What if they decided today the CIA and the FBI was after you? You say, oh, come on, Brother Stuart. That's what it was in those days. The king was after him. And by the grace of God, he survived. Remember, he was anointed to be king. Look at verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Not a strength or part of my strength. Be careful. Be careful. Now, you know we sing some of these hymns, and they sound. Sometimes we sing hymns, we feel like a hypocrite when we're singing them. All to thee, I surrender all. We sing that while we're singing, we're going, I don't know if I've surrendered all or not. A lot of these hymns are aspirations, amen? None of us bat 1,000, okay? When you read these, don't say, well, that's a nice thought. Ask yourself, how much do I love the Lord? Brethren, I'm not here to scare you, but my job and your pastor's job is not to scratch itching ears. I want you to be excited about your job, amen? I want you to be excited about your family. I want you to be excited about your church. But if we don't understand the times in which we're living, a man for our times, we're going to drift. We're going to get sucked into this. And it takes wisdom to know how to be a witness and a testimony. And yet to hold the line. Amen? Amen. Now watch. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, a little personal sword apparently, and the horn of my salvation. Think of the horn on an animal, the strength of that animal. David grew up and around the wilderness. He thinks along those lines in word pictures. My high tower. Wish I could talk on that one. Look at this. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He had enemies. He had enemies. He had been literally run across the country, and sometimes he came to his wits' end. One time he graveled around like a dog and spit all over himself because he found himself in a stupid move with the Philistines. He went there for refuge, and he thought, what am I doing? He had to act like a crazy man to get out of there. He knows when society's pressing in on him. And look what he says in verse 4. It's like all of a sudden, he becomes Noah. Watch it. Watch it. The sorrows of death compassed me about. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Notice the word picture of a flood. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now he describes the flood event. He just starts describing the flood event. David wrote this. He says, it's like I just had floods of wicked men coming over me. People squealing to the king and telling where I was. And people I thought were my friends being two-faced. And I ran and hid for my life. I couldn't find refuge in my own family. David had a strange relationship with his father. It was something not right there. And David just feels so bare, and he had to get a bunch of ragtag, rough guys around him just to survive. And it's an amazing story when you study where he's at in this point in his life. And all of a sudden, it's like he's Noah. He spent so much time studying the Word of God, Psalm 1, that Noah was real to him. He could relate to Noah. Look what it says here. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God was upset, wrath. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens, bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Meteorite activity apparently during the flood, etc., very possibly. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, the highest gave his voice, hailstones, coals of fire. Yea, he sent out arrows, lightning bolts, and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. We'll talk about that more later this week, because that's a, think about the rainbow. If you haven't heard about the rainbow, it's a big deal in the Bible. Then the channels of water were seen, the foundation of the world. Do you get any good study Bible that understands creation science? They'll tell you he's describing the flood here. And they were discovered, thy rebuke, O Lord, the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. It's almost like Noah wrote this. We don't stop and think. Noah's just out having a good day every day and building the ark over the many years. Hey, Noah, no, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Great. How's the ark? Oh, it's doing super. Great, Noah, I want to get a picture. Yeah, I get a picture. No, you read 1 and 2 Peter. He was persecuted. He was under heavy, heavy duress all during that time. But you know what? Noah stood, didn't he? Noah walked with God. Don't look at Noah as just somebody you can't be or whatever. You know what? He says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Then he goes back in and pulls it back into his thing. What am I saying? I'm saying to you today that we just need to feel again how bad it got in Noah's day, so we understand he's a man for our times. I said we go to the extreme to make a point. It's not even close as being as bad as it was in Noah's day. But it's bad enough that you can mess up a whole lot spiritually, and you get in a lot of trouble. But by the grace of God, you can get out of it, amen? But you don't have to get into it in the first place. How? Walk with God. If he did what he did in those days, things that bad, right now it's just on TV. Not that it's not out there. Then, you know what, folks? We got hope, amen? This church can stay on fire for God till the rapture, amen? As your pastor comes.
All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. And appreciate Brother Stewart this morning. So we got about 20 minutes, and we'll come back in here and resume the Bible conference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing it's been to hear your word preached this morning. Lord, may you bless the services to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.